and a fashion during the prac. Now, for types of titrations then, we have got characterising the titrations based on their chemistry. We've also got how we do the titration. So you guys have done examples of direct titration, obviously, or acid-based titration, complexiometric titration. Those are direct titrations. The endpoint will be indicated either by a change in the reactants. So in this case here, if we're dealing with potassium permanganate, which is that purpley-pink colour, reacting with some fulvic acids. Once we get to the endpoint, we'll have an excess of this compound, which is coloured, over the colourless reactants. So we get a faint pink, and we can tell the titration's complete. As a practical example then, the hardness titration that we've done is a direct titration. For a back titration, the example that we've carried out so far is our COD analysis in first year, and later on we'll be doing an ANC. What was our ANC? Yeah. With the COD, which, what did this stand for? Yeah. How do we do this? Yeah. And? How did it work? So let's go through the example here. The example here, we're still going for our fulvic acid. We throw in potassium permanganate. We put a large excess of potassium permanganate in, and we know exactly how much we've got. So the reaction then is X mils of fulvic acid, reaction with X moles of our potassium permanganate. And what we've got left at the end then is Y moles of potassium permanganate. We then titrate with iron 2+. We know the stoichiometry between the iron 2+, potassium permanganate. We figure out then how much is used, and through the amount of potassium permanganate we've calculated that's left, we can figure out how many moles of X we used up. So that's how a back titration works. Now, in the case of the COD process then, the analyte that was floating around in solution was what? Organic matter, yeah, because remember we want to relate it to oxygen, but we can't measure the oxygen in this case, so it's the organic matter floating around. Now, for the solution that was in the burette, what was that one? It was potassium dichromate, and what was actually sitting in the flask that he'd carried out the oxidation with? Yeah, so what's in the burette then? The iron solution, yeah. Okay, so it's very similar to that there. It's, instead of having potassium permanganate, which is an oxidizer, you have potassium dichromate, which is the oxidizer, and then you're reacting your iron 2+. Remember, iron 2+ goes to iron 3+, and that then determines the amount of dichromate that's left behind at the end. So that's an example. Now remember, in this thing here, if I'm asking for examples in the next test, for instance, you need to know those sort of details for what's there, because I'll ask for a standard example, and then in addition I want you to explain what's the difference between a back titration and a direct titration. No, it's in the flask. Yeah. Yeah. Now the reason that you never actually saw it was the reaction's a bit slow, so Robbie actually cooked it up with the potassium dichromate for a couple of hours before you did the titration, so that it had actually gone to completion. Ideally we would have got it happening, but in these cases we're always trying to get everybody finished within the 3 hours, and if we added 2 hours more to it, you would have left at 7 o'clock at night. Isn't it? Yeah. Well, that's what the standard operation procedure is about, is that somebody at the outset with a method determines what is the optimum number of hours to ensure that you've got the perfect analysis and you're not wasting time. So in a lab, you've got to get the analysis absolutely reliable and as quick as possible to maximise throughput, because it's all about money in terms of, or if you're doing them yourself, you don't want to waste time sitting around in a lab when you don't need to.